go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Karen wanted me to remind you that tonight, after the service, we'll be having a... Karen, just refreshments and stuff downstairs? Yeah, well, I'm going to, but I mean, what we're having down there, what are we eating? I'm more interested in what we're eating and who it's for. Finger food. Chew on your fingers, I guess. Anyway, what it is, Danny's birthday's today, and we're just going to kind of do something for Danny tonight after church downstairs. So just bring a little something to eat with you, and we'll get out of church and have that tonight. That's it. Did I miss something else? I believe it is Danny's birthday. Anyway, some excuse for doing something. You know, church folk got to have excuses to eat, right? And all right, I think we're going to do a teaching message today that I feel like the Lord would have me to preach. And there's going to be a lot of things up on the wall, but I do want you to use your Bibles and have your Bibles ready. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and we'll begin at verse 1. Now, I beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The coming of Jesus Christ back to this earth is one of the paramount principles of the Word of God. And by our Lord Jesus Christ, by our gathering together unto Him, that you be not soon shaken in mind. Now, I read this for a purpose. I think a lot of times when people preach on the Antichrist, preach on the second coming of Christ, things of this nature, they try to do it for sensationalism. And if they're not careful, all they do is instill a spirit of fear in people about it. And I want to tell you straight up and flat out that I'm not preaching this to instill fear in anybody but those that are lost. Yeah. If you're lost, now you got there's a good reason to be fearful. I don't fear anyone but the Lord Jesus Christ. And you're not, God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love of a sound mind. The Bible says, fear not them which can kill the body, but that have no more that they can do. But I will forewarn you whom you shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast both soul and body into hell. Yeah. You want to fear God. So I'm not preaching this to sensationalize or to focus on the Antichrist, because we're not to look to the Antichrist and we're not supposed to look for his coming. Amen. We're supposed to look for Christ's coming. And so I want to make sure, but I am preaching it for these reasons. Number one, it's in the Bible. So I'm to preach the whole counsel of God. Secondly, to make people aware of things and to give wisdom and understanding and to understand the times in which we live. And of course, to warn people to be ready for eternity. So those are the reasons. Now, it says there in 2 Thessalonians 2 that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled. God does not want you shaken in mind or troubled by end time events. Neither by the spirit or by word, neither by letter from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. In other words, the day of Christ, this beginning of the second coming of Christ, the 1,000-year reign and so forth, said, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day, this day of Christ, shall not come except there come a falling away first. But I do believe we're in that. There'd be a falling away first. This one reason I preach this. Now, I know that probably every Christian thinks this at maybe different times of life. But I've never seen a time that it looks to me like we're seeing events unfold like as what has happened through this COVID-19 thing. This has changed the whole globe. And the changes that came with it, I think, are preparatory for some of the things about the Antichrist. That there, except there come a falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. So there, I want you. There, you see the Antichrist. What's called, by the way, he's not called so much specifically the Antichrist in the Bible. There's twice the word Antichrist in the Bible. There's a spirit of Antichrist. The Bible says it's already in the world, and Antichrist in a general sense, in that anyone who is against the incarnation, or does not believe in the virgin birth, the God in the flesh, Jesus Christ, and his redemptive work is Antichrist. They're against the work of the gospel, okay? And there's a lot of that going on. That's what 1 John says. But there are titles, but down through the years when somebody said the Antichrist, is people have come to take that as that beast that's mentioned in Scripture, and he's called the man of sin in this passage of Scripture, be revealed, the son of perdition. There's another title. We'll be looking at this. who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God. Now, it's giving you some insight about this Antichrist, this personage, or that is worship. So that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. This is one of the reasons I believe the temple will be rebuilt during the tribulation period over in Jerusalem. You know, I can't be exact on that, but I do believe that will happen because the Antichrist is going to sit in this rebuilt temple over there. According to 2 Thessalonians, verse 5, remember you not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things, and now you know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity, that's another one of the things we're going to look at this one. The mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. I believe that he there is referring to the Holy Spirit of God in his restraining influence upon evil in this world and restraining power, holding back the Antichrist or the man of sin, the wicked one, and so forth. Verse number 8, and then after he who letteth is taken out of the way, and then shall that wicked, notice the capital here, it's a personage, it's given a title given to a person, that wicked be revealed whom the Lord shall consume. Boy, and I like that. God said he's going to be revealed, but I want to remind you, the Lord shall consume him with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy him with the brightness of his coming. Write down Matthew chapter 24, because it talks about the lightning and the light coming down from heaven, the appearance of our Lord Jesus Christ coming back in power and glory of his coming. Even him, whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. Now, I'm telling you right now, one of the things going to happen during the tribulation period and during the time of the Antichrist is a lot of signs and powers and wonders that is going to deceive people. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. Now, one of the things that's really concerning me in the time we're living is that truth has done just exactly what the prophet said would happen. It has fallen into the street. You cannot hear truth in this nation on any type of media anymore. Every broadcast outfit, every media deal is just lies continuously. And in to do with this is what's called, the Bible calls reprobation. And that means that they call right wrong, they call wrong right, good they call evil good, and so forth, and which turns everything into a lie. And you are living at a different time than what I was born. Now, I'm not saying that there hadn't always been wickedness and lying going on, because there has, but there's never been a time in my lifetime when, I mean, blatant, willful, intended, malicious lying about everything going on. It's just like the whole country and the whole world's given up into lying. And God said, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved, for this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. Let me just tell you this. We'll never believe that Joe Biden is a legitimate American president. I'm just not going to believe that. I'm not going to lie to myself about that. I think he's illegitimate and will be for eternity illegitimate. But nonetheless, he is in the office. Now, let me give you an illustration of this. Now, I'm not saying Joe Biden's Antichrist. Don't need to allude that. But I want to give you an example. He is in the office, but that does not make him legitimate. The Antichrist will be in the temple, but that doesn't make him legitimate. Do you understand that? You can be somewhere and not be legitimate. Right. Now, I do not believe that the election was legitimate. Right. Now, somebody can disagree with that, but what evidence I've seen doesn't look legitimate to me. Right. Now, but here's what I believe you're seeing happen in this country. This country has rejected the truth of God's word by and large. It has rejected righteousness. So God is sending this country strong delusion. Let me just tell you what bothers me is that whether it's 50 million, 60 million, or 70 million, or 80 million people that voted for Joe Biden and what he stands for, that's what concerns me. Because those people are delusional. You have to be deluded about the truth to think that sodomy is all right, that killing babies is all right, that not having borders is all right. You, all that stuff that he's pushing, and that party now believes and is part of their doctrine, you have to be deluded. You have to reject the truth. And so you know what God's done? He sent this delusion into the hearts of American people, and they're deluded. You cannot believe in righteousness and the word of God and vote for that kind of stuff. If you do it, you're deluded. I mean, it's just that simple. Now, I don't say that with anger or anything. It's just the truth. So now he said that they should believe a lie. So if you won't believe the truth, God says, I'm going to give you over to believe a lie. Now, verse 12, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Now, go ahead and put up the next cliff there, guys. And we're going to go down through. I want you to go to Revelation chapter 13, and then we'll just start hitting a bunch of scriptures as we go through. Now, I would encourage you to write down a lot of references today. But I want to read Revelation chapter 13, and then we're going to get into the message today. Revelation chapter 13, we may hit three or four of the verses, and then we're just going to go right down through and do a teaching message on the Antichrist today. All righty? Now, before I read Revelation chapter 13, I want to give a last day sequence of events. We've been talking about the rapture of the church and then this 70th week of Daniel. Daniel's 70th week is what this tribulation period is, 7-year period. The first half of that, you'll see the rise of the Antichrist, and the 70th week, the second half, is the Great Tribulation. The 7-year period is divided by the Bible into two phases, and they're each 42 months. There's a lot of interesting things, but that's how long Jesus, watch this, that's how long Jesus ministered, 3.5 years. That's how many chapters in the book of Job, which is a picture of the Jews going through the tribulation, 42 months. So there's a reason that that's split. Then you have, at the end of the tribulation, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which is when Christ comes back with his saints to this earth. We read about it in Zechariah chapter 14 and in Revelation chapter 19, and you can read about it. After the revelation of Jesus Christ, you have, of course, that great battle, and you have the judgment of the nations, and then the 1,000-year reign of Christ. After the 1,000-year reign of Christ, Satan will be put into the bottomless pit during that time. He'll be loosed at the end of that 1,000-year reign. That's your Bible, Revelation chapter 20. He'll be loosed for a little season. He'll go out and raise a rebellion in this world, and God will put it down almost instantaneously. And after that, Satan will be cast into the lake of fire forever. You have the great white throne judgment, and then the new heaven, the new earth, and eternity. And I'm telling you right now, this is what's up, and this is what's going on, and this is where things are headed to. And this is why God says to set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth, because this deal is going to wind down and wind out of here. God says, lay up your treasures in heaven, and so forth. God wants you to live for eternity, not for time. This is a big biblical, honest truth, biblical principle. Learn to live for eternity and not for time. And God wants you to see these things and understand the times so that you know how you ought to live. Now, so we have that. So give me the next one, guys, if you will there. Now, while he puts it up here, let's start reading Revelation 13. Now, we're at this point in the tribulation occurs from Revelation chapter 6 to chapter 18. So we are in the last half of the tribulation here. And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns upon his head, and 10 crowns upon his head, the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like a leopard. Now, I'm going to throw something at you. Now, I wasn't going to do this, but I'm going to say it. Now, you won't hear this in 1,000 pulpits while I'm getting ready to tell you. The leopard, the lion, the bear, these animals are, they're pictorial of prophetic events. Now I'm going to give you something. A leopard is yellow with black spots and a white underbelly. And it's going to tell you what's going to happen to the races toward the end of time. Tell me what nations are called the yellow nations. Asia. What nation is seeming to come into the forefront of the world power right now? China. The black spots is your darker skinned people, in a sense, are seeming to, you know, for a long time, the Gentile powers, the white was on top. But the leopard coming is symbolic of the Asian nations taking a ruling position along with the darker people and the white people being subdued under that. Now, that's what your old time Bible preachers used to teach. That was coming. And I think I've lived long enough to see it fulfillment just starting to come. Okay? Let me tell you something. Have you noticed that there is a hatred for white people in this country? There's a disdain and a hatred being taught in our universities and our colleges against white people. Isn't it funny that Western nations, and I'm not saying colonization or anything of that nature is right, But let me just tell you something. God colonized Canaan with the children of Israel. You can say all you want to about that. And God, slavery, everything you want to. Read what God's word has to say. But he sent his own people into slavery for judgment. Now listen to me. There is this spirit, this colonization thing and so forth. People will talk about, well, the white people, they colonized this and they did this and they made slaves. I want to tell you something. You don't know anything about history and even recent history if that's what you're being brainwashed, these colleges and stuff. I am telling you what, Russia and what the big deal is now about, here's how they're promoting socialism. And I'm getting off on a little bit of a rabbit trail. They're promoting socialism by saying that the socialist countries did not colonize and did not enslave people. That's a lie. Nobody enslaved more people than Hitler and Stalin, and they were both socialist leaders. Yeah. In your lifetime, in these centuries, socialism has enslaved and colonized more people. Russia, what was the Soviet Union? It was Russia colonizing all the countries around, swallowing them up and imposing their socialistic, communistic dictatorships upon those people. And why on earth we're allowing this stuff to be taught to our children in these colleges, it blows my mind. Yeah. By the way, if it wasn't for this nation's freedom, I'll tell you what, it was Reagan who stood, tear down this wall. If you're for freedom, then tear down this wall. Show us your faith by your works. And I've been over there and I've seen the difference. And I'm just telling you that there's a lot of spirit of lying that's going on in this country. I mean, everything's a lie. It's almost like I don't believe anything I hear media-wise because it's all a lie. All right. Here we go, chapter 13 there. And his feet was as the feet of a bear, and his mouth the mouth of a lion. The dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. Of course, you know the dragon is Satan. I saw one of his heads that were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and the world wondered after me. There is a death and a resurrection going on here. Keep that in mind when we look at the imitations of the Antichrist to Christ. And they worshiped the dragon, which gave power to the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? Just a thought I want to drop in your mind. What did Satan do whenever he took Jesus, as it were, in Matthew chapter 4, up to the mountain? He wanted him to worship him. Now, I want you young people to listen to this preacher this morning. If this was the last message I'd ever preached, let me tell you what Satan really wants out of you, and that's your worship. And his concept of worship is not you falling necessarily down on your knees in the front of a church. He wants you to go out and live for him. Yeah. And he's after your worship. He wants you to bow down to what he wants you to do, not what Christ wants you to do. If he can get you to bow and go along with what he wants, in his eyes, you have started worshiping him, and really, and it's a fact. Verse number 5, and it was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and powers was given to him to continue. There it is, 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints. Now these saints that they're making war with are tribulational saints. They are people who were left here after the church was taken out. People who are right on through, okay? With saints and to overcome them, and power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. This is globalization. You've also seen in your generation a move of globalization, where it's global now, a global economy. This is where the liberals want to take us. This is why this immigration deal, no borders. They want us all to live in a global. This is a setup for the Antichrist. Verse number 8, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain for the foundation of the world. That's the only exception, the people that will not worship him. If any man have an ear, let him hear. And he that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with sword must be killed with sword. Here is the patience and faith of the saints. Now, watch verse 11. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth. The first beast came up out of the sea. This beast comes up out of the earth. And verse 11 is where the Antichrist beast that we're going to be talking about really starts here. Had two horns like a lamb. That's one of your deals. Jesus Christ is called the Lamb of God. And he spake as a dragon. That tells you who's giving him his power, Satan his power. And he exercises all the power of the first beast before him and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. And he doth great wonders so that he make fire come down from heaven on earth in the sight of men. Now, folks, I'm going to tell you that's pretty impressive. And deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast. saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast. Think Daniel chapter 3, Nebuchadnezzar's image. Think about this. And which had the wound by the sword and did live. Now, what you've seen so far is you've seen this beast has died. He's been resurrected, made to live again. You've seen him have an image that's to be worshipped. He wants people's worship. And verse number 15 says, and he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak. Now, this is what bothers me when I watch modern Christianity today. For the last 60, 70 years, and even back in the Depression times, these people would come up and have these evangelistic meetings and stuff, and they'd have these powers and signs and wonders, and people just fall for that stuff like nobody's business. The Bible says four times, the just, that's saved people, shall live by faith. Faith comes by hearing, hearing comes by the word of God. We do not live by signs and wonders. And buddy, I'm going to tell you something right now. If you think just the stupid stuff that people are doing, wait till the Antichrist comes on scene and he brings fire down from heaven and stuff. People will just absolutely, they'll just melt. They'll just melt on their knees in worship.
Yeah.
Now, he said, it causes, and he said, and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. So if you won't worship him, you'll be killed. And he causeth, in other words, causeth, makes, forces, okay, all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. So now, we're going to take off here just the trail of the wicked one. The Bible calls the Antichrist the wicked one. And we won't have time, so I'd encourage you to write these references down, or to watch this message again and just look up the scripture, because there's no way in the world I can do this morning and look at all scripture. But the first prophecy concerning the Antichrist is in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, when it talks about her seed and the serpent seed, the seed of the serpent. And from that point on, you have these two trails, the seed. We'll follow the seed now going through the Old Testament. And there'll be types and foreshadows of the Antichrist all the way through the Old Testament. The first of the serpent seed typology of the Antichrist was a murderer. The Bible said that Satan is a murderer. Let me just tell you, he comes to kill, to steal, and destroy. And of course, there's a satanic trinity, the devil, the beast, and the false prophet. But one of the things that he kills everybody that won't worship him. Then you got Nimrod. You come up to Nimrod in Genesis 11, and he established the first one world government. This is where things are moving, is to a global one world government. The Antichrist, and there's a foreshadow in the Old Testament. There's nothing new. And Nimrod established the first world government in Genesis chapter 11. It's not an accident that in our lifetime, in our parents' lifetime, that the United Nations was formed. And that is, it is one of the most evil, wicked, vile organizations that was ever made upon the face of the earth. It is totally Antichrist, has no time for Jesus. Then you had Korah. Korah is a picture of the Antichrist in that he rebelled against God-ordained authority, against Moses. And you know what happened to him. Balaam is a type of the Antichrist in that he cursed Israel. Saul was a picture of the Antichrist because he intruded into the priesthood. And that's exactly what the Antichrist will do, is try to be what Jesus is, our great high priest. Everything has to go through him. Then there's Goliath. Goliath is a picture of the Antichrist in his pride and his boastful and as an enemy of God. But there's something very interesting about Goliath. Goliath has the number 666 connected to him. He was six cubits, if you read over there, he was six cubits high. He had six pieces of armor, and his spear weighed 600 shekels. 666. Goliath is a picture of the Antichrist. All right, now there's going to be three men in the Old Testament that are specific, or three situations that have the number 666 in the Old Testament that are foreshadow of the Antichrist, and there's things that we can learn from them. But he's a boasting, proud, arrogant, antagonistic against God, and he had a 666. Then the next one is Absalom. He attempted to steal David's throne. Absalom is a picture of the Antichrist, subverting the rightful ruler. Jeroboam established a substitute religion. I'm going to take you something that I don't have figured out, but I know there's something there. Take your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 10. 1 Kings chapter 10. I don't have this up there. And I want to do it because it disturbs me almost, and I really wonder about it. But it's Solomon. Solomon. Right in between Absalom and Jeroboam is a guy named Solomon. And when Solomon sat on his throne, how many know Solomon started out good, but what happened to him? He did exactly what the Bible's in Deuteronomy said for kings not to do. He multiplied horses and women unto himself. And God said, when you do that, you'll turn your heart away. And exactly what happened to him. And in 1 Kings chapter 10, let's look at verse number 14. Everybody there say amen. Amen. Well, that was weak. All right. Now, the weight of gold that came to Solomon in 1 year was, somebody say it for me. That's not an accident. There's something about Solomon as a picture of the Antichrist God wants you to know. I'll go further. Look down in verse number 18. Moreover, the king made a great throne of ivory and overlaid it with the best gold. The throne had 6 steps, and the top of the throne was round about behind, and there were stays on either side of the place of the seat, and 2 lions stood up beside the stays. Watch this. And 12 lions stood over on the one side and on the other side upon the 6 steps. Woo! That's 3/6. 12 and 6 is 18. That's the exact verse in chapter 13. In Revelation 13, we read a while ago about the Antichrist. 13 is the number of rebellion. The Antichrist is taught in the 13th chapter of Revelation. He is specifically said about his number in the 18th verse, 666. 18 divided by 3 is 666. I don't claim to know everything about why, but I can tell you one thing. Nobody but God could have wrote this book. I can tell you that. Right. But it said there's 12 lines stood there on one side, the other was 6 steps. So what you have is 12 plus 6 is 18, which divided by 3 is a 666. Actually, Solomon becomes a double 666. Because the amount of gold that he had up in verse number 14, it lists as 666. And down in verse number 20, it gives you another 666 with his throne and the lions and the steps up to it. Now, what about that? Well, Solomon is a picture of man ruling apart from God. I'll tell you something happened. What happened after Solomon reigned? The country divided. And Israel was carried off into captivity. It is a picture of man under man's rule and leadership who will not let God rule him. And watch this. If you won't let God rule your life, he'll let Satan run it for you. Yeah. You do not do your own thing. You do not run your life. Either God is running your life or the devil's running your life. There ain't no in between. And you sure not running, I can promise you that. Well, Jeroboam was a picture of the wicked one because of his substitute religion. Sennacherib was a picture because he destroyed Jerusalem, the goal of the Antichrist. Nebuchadnezzar with the worship of the image. In Daniel chapter 3, Nebuchadnezzar made an image. Isn't that interesting? And he wanted everybody to come up to it and bow down to it. And if you didn't bow down and worship it, you would get what? Killed. Exactly what Revelation 13 teaches. If you don't worship the Antichrist, you'll be killed. But there were 3 Hebrew, watch this. This is another reason you know. It's the time of Jacob's trouble. There were 3 Hebrew children that would not bow. And they went into the fiery furnace, which is a picture of the tribulation period. Jacob's time of trouble. Bible says never been a time like it before on earth and never will be again. And they're going through the furnace of tribulation, but there's somebody with them. Now, these were the believing Jews. And when you get in the book of Revelation, it tells you about 144,000 Jewish people, 12,000 out of every tribe. And God, it's the time of Jacob's trouble, not the church's trouble. The church has already been taken out. Anyway, let's keep trucking. I get too many things at wheeling. But that's a big, by the way, that image in Daniel 3, it was 60 cubits high, 6 cubits wide, and had 6 musical instruments to be played before it. 666. When you get to Haman, Haman is a type of the Antichrist in that he wanted to destroy all the Jews. He built a gallows to hang the Mordecai, who is a picture of Jesus Christ, to hang him on. That gallows is a type of the cross of Calvary. And it was at the cross of Calvary where Jesus destroyed death and the king of death, the Satan. What happened? Watch this. Haman got hung on the gallows that he had prepared for Mordecai. The cross, watch this, doesn't just save God's people. The cross sentences God's enemies. We're going to do something else about hanging on the cross. Then there's Antiochus Epiphanes. He's a secular, but he defiled the temple, brought a pig into the temple, put it in there. All right, go to the next one. There's the mystery of godliness. In 1 Timothy 3:16, the mystery of godliness is God in the flesh, the God-man Jesus Christ. God came in flesh. The mystery of iniquity, there was a supernatural conception, the Holy Ghost, the womb of Mary. The devil is going to imitate everything that God does about Jesus Christ. The mystery of iniquity that you read about a while ago will be Satan in the flesh, a supernatural conception. How many of you ever remember Rosemary's Baby? Back in the 70s and 80s when the drug culture hit this country hard and demonism, by the way, this country is full of demonism. Full of demonism. A lot of it's in our churches. And I'm telling you something, you'll see a supernatural conception. All right, go right ahead, guys, if you want to, and we'll keep try to keep moving here. Now, we want to look at the imitation of the wicked one. Everything we said that Christ and God the Father, God the Son does, Satan mimics it. Does Satan have does Christ have a church? Yes, he does. Does Satan have a church? Well, in Revelation, it calls it the synagogue of Satan, but there's also a false church in Revelation that the Antichrist is going to embrace and then later destroy. But there's a false church. And right here it is. Does Christ have a bride? Yes. Does Satan have a bride? It'll be the harlot church after the bride is taken out. I'm going to be honest with you right now. I'm not saying this to be smart. I'm not saying to be arrogant. Nothing. It's just clear as a bell to me, reading the Bible and watching. Most churches in America, they're there. I'm telling you, it ain't good. Does Christ have a cup? And communion, yes. Satan has a cup. Paul said, I don't want you communion, taking the cup of devils. Did Christ have an earthly ministry? Yes. The Antichrist will also have a 3.5 year, 40 and 2 months ministry on the earth. Is God a triune being? Yes, he is. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. There's the satanic trinity, the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet. What's the deal? Is Christ worshipped? Yes. And you read in that deal that if you won't fall down and worship the Antichrist, that's what he's after. I'm telling you, that's what the Antichrist is. Isaiah 14, I will be like the Most High. I will sit on the throne. He wants your worship. That's what it's all about. He wants to subvert God's position and authority. All right, the next one. Contrast between Christ and the Antichrist. Christ comes from above. The Antichrist, the Bible teaches, comes from beneath. Christ comes in his Father's name. The Antichrist comes in his own name. Christ humbled himself, but the Antichrist exalts himself. Christ is despised and rejected by this world, but the Antichrist will be admired and received by this world. Christ will be exalted, but the Antichrist will ultimately be cast to hell, the lake of fire. Christ does the Father's will. The Antichrist does his own will. There's a lot of wisdom right here to understand what's going on. What kind of spirit is working in you? Is it a spirit of obedience to God or a spirit of rebellion to God? That'll tell you a lot about what's going on. All right, the next thing. Christ saves, the Antichrist will destroy. Christ is the good shepherd, and the prophets, the Antichrist is called the evil or the idle shepherd. Christ has the throne. The Bible speaks in Revelation about Satan's seat. The Bible teaches very clearly that Satan has a seat, a throne upon this earth right now. Christ is the true vine. Antichrist is called the vine of the earth by the prophets. Christ is the truth. The Antichrist is the lie. Christ is the Holy One. The Antichrist is the wicked one. Christ is called the man of sorrows. The Antichrist is called the man of sin. Christ is the only Son of God. The Antichrist is the son of perdition. Christ is called the mystery of holiness and of godliness, and the Antichrist is the mystery of perdition there. Christ comes on a white horse to conquer, But the Antichrist comes on a white horse to offer false peace. Let me say this to you. And again, the references. This is in Revelation chapter 6. And this is going to fool the world. But Christ doesn't come, this right here is in Revelation chapter 6. Pardon me, I'm handling the wrong one. That's Revelation 6. This is Revelation chapter 19. And I just tell you this. If your heart, I'm talking this morning, my heart is this. I don't want anybody to not be saved. I want everybody to be saved, because if you're not saved, I'm telling you, you got bad stuff ahead of you, and I'm not kidding you. And I don't, like I said, want to sensationalize stuff, but if you reject the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible teaches you're going to believe the lie of the Antichrist. And you will be deceived by him, and you will literally think on this earth that you're worshiping Jesus Christ, and you won't be at all. All right, go ahead. Now, I want to throw something out to you here. We just want to go. There's a mystery about Judas Iscariot. John 17:12 says that he's the son of perdition. The only other person is that's said about in the Bible is the devil. And Jesus said, one of you is a devil. The Bible said in Acts 1:25 that Judas went to his own place. That's not said about anybody else in the entire Bible. And the Bible says that the beast, in describing him and his action, was and is not and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit. Well, Judas was, and he was the devil. He was called the son of perdition, the same title. He is not. And he'll come up out of the pit. I believe that Judas, just from the Bible, I could be wrong, but I believe it's very likely that Judas will be the Antichrist incarnate. In other words, he'd be the devil in flesh. Do you remember where it said that Satan entered into him? Now, all I'm saying to you this, there's something very, very strange about Judas Iscariot in your Bible. Okay, go ahead. The program of the Antichrist. He'll be an intellectual genius. Here's your references on that. Daniel 8:23. He'll be an oratorical genius. Daniel 11. He'll be a commercial genius. Revelation 13. He'll be a military genius. Revelation 13 and 6. He'll be a religious genius. The Antichrist will sit in the Holy of Holies as God, and that's what Satan has always wanted from man, is God's position. He wants man's worship. Okay? All right, we'll go to the next one here. Now, this takes us down to the brand of hell. And the brand of hell, what I call the brand of hell, is the mark of the beast. Now, first of all, let me say this to you. And I want you to pay very close attention, because I know when I get ready to say this, some people try to grab it. I believe the Bible clearly teaches that the church will be the church will be taken out before the tribulation period. Okay? There are people that do not believe that way. And there are scriptures that they use that I can see how they could arrive to that. The one thing that keeps me lined up on this is the difference, rightly divided truth, between the church and Israel. If you do not keep the church and Israel separate, you can easily get into that, okay? But if you keep that rightly divided, it'll help you on that. But here's what I want to say. At this point, we're talking about if the church goes out and you're left here, this is what you're going to see. Now, according to the Bible, you're going to see 3.5 years of prosperity. It'll just seem like, man, this guy, I mean, he's the most wonderful thing that ever hit history. And it'll seem that way in all these realms, intellectualism, military, political, economic, all the way through. It'll just be like him, basically kind of set up a false Antichrist kingdom. And he's going to make a covenant with Israel. Now, remember, he's the enemy of Israel and he hates God's people. He's going to make a covenant with Israel, and he's going to flip on that. He's going to betray them, Judas, in the middle of that 7-year period. And when that betrayal happens, he's going to bring the armies of the world against Israel to destroy them. This is where the Battle of Armageddon will be fought. Hitler, see, all down through history, there's these prototypes of this. Hitler said he had the final solution. What was the final solution about? Killing every living Jew on the face of this earth. What did Herod want to do? Kill all the Jewish babies. What did Pharaoh want to do? Kill all the Jewish babies. And the Antichrist is going to be determined to kill all the nation of Israel. And he's going to gather the armies of the world around Jerusalem. And it will be at that point, when it looks like all is lost, that the Lord will come in clouds and in power and in glory with his saints. But during this last 3.5 years of the tribulation, before that occurs, here's what I want to throw something at you. If you're here today and you're not saved, and here's what's coming. And this is what's really been bothering me about this whole COVID thing and all what I'm seeing going on. In your chapter that we read earlier, everyone, you know, in life, everybody's a consumer, either, not either, but you're a consumer and a producer. Hopefully you're a producer. I guess America's got a pretty good group of consumers that aren't producers. But anyway, no one, according to your Bible, nobody will be able to buy or sell without the mark. You cannot go to the grocery store. You say, well, I wouldn't. Oh, boy, I tell you what, I'm not going to. I'm not going to take the mark of the beast. Let me just tell you something. You won't be able to go to the dentist. Your child wakes up in the night, got a horrific toothache. You can't fix it. And he's, I mean, crying out in pain. And you tell me you won't take him to a dentist. And the dentist's going to say, this pastor, I walked into a courthouse the other day and take your temperature. We're being conditioned everywhere we go to put something out there to allow us entrance, to allow us to participate. They're talking now that if you don't have a COVID vaccine, you can't fly. Possibly even some states you can't travel, interstate travel. You have to have proof, have your vaccine papers with you. We're being conditioned. I am telling you, listen to me, we are being conditioned to take the mark of the beast in this country. And but the pressure will come when you can't buy or sell, except you've got his mark or the name or the number on your in your right hand or in your forehead. Now, I wouldn't have never, when I first started preaching, I never thought much about that. But now, I mean, this, that's whether it's a chip or whether it's some kind of a micro deal, I don't know. But there's going to be some way of a right hand or the forehead that they're going to have something that identifies who you are and whether you're in compliance. If you walk up there and you ain't got it, you ain't getting it. I literally believe that it says that no one can buy or sell without the mark. It'd be a right hand or a forehead. International law decreed and enforced by military local law enforcement. I believe there'll be rewards for turning people in. There won't be any employment. You won't be able to get a job. If you're a contractor, you will not work anywhere. You won't get any contracts. You won't do any kind of work. I mean, it's just there. No employment at factories, no purchases at retail stores. Go ahead. You just think about this. You say, well, I'll go out here. I mean, you're gonna what do you call it, get off the grid? Well, good luck. Farmers can't sell produce without the mark. No gas. You can't buy gas without it. Can't go to the hospital. Can't go to a doctor. Can't go to a dentist. Can't go to school. And those who refuse the mark will be considered enemies of the state. Go ahead. And what's going to happen? The Antichrist will attempt to set himself up as God, destroy the Jews. It'll be the darkest day the world's ever seen. And I just want to encourage you here today. Now, I've talked about all his stuff and all that and so forth. But I just want you to be saved. Now, I'm not planning on being here when all this happens. Okay? But here's what I want to say. And I said a while ago, I don't want people to take me wrong. If I happen to be wrong and the church is going into the tribulation, then you really better get your act together.
Amen.
I mean, and then I'm going to say this to you. I don't believe that 1 out of 1,000 professing Christian people in America would refuse the mark. I don't believe it's in us anymore. I believe people will just cave like that. They'll justify it. They'll deceive themselves that, well, this isn't it. And we just got to go along. You know, we got to live. I'm not here to try to scare you out this morning because God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and sound mind. Not trying to be sensationalist. It's just Bible. There it is. This is a time coming upon this earth. And the best thing to do, number one, is get saved. And I'm talking about really get saved. I'm talking about really being saved. I said really getting saved. Yes. I'm not talking about playing church. I'm not talking about playing religion. I'm talking about a personal relationship where you came to God Almighty with a brokenness in your heart as a guilty sinner and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I want to embrace you. I'm going to receive your son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and receive him as your Savior. Believe and trust upon him that he died and suffered and died for your sins and was buried and rose again. The third day rose from the dead. And you're a follower and a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And on Christ, the solid rock, you stand and all of the ground is sinking sand. He's it. You don't trust how good you are. I want to tell you something. Don't tell me how well you live. That's works. Tell me about your faith in Christ. And so I want to encourage you today this. The Bible said that God hath not appointed us to wrath. And this is the time of God's wrath. But I do want you to do something. I want you to take your Bibles finally today in Revelation. I've rushed through this. And one of the reasons I did, I don't want to sensationalize this. I just don't. I just want to preach it as a Bible fact. And you're either ready or you ain't ready. If you ain't ready, you need to get ready. You need to be saved. Revelation chapter 19, I'll tell you what let's do. Let's back up and hit a few scriptures here just a little bit ahead of time here. I want you to go to Revelation chapter 14. We was in chapter 13 there, but just to give you a little bit of a hit here. And Revelation 14, it says in the verse number 9, and it said, the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels, in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever. And they have no rest day nor night who worship the beast and his image and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Now you listen to me right now. I want to tell you something. If you take the mark, your destiny is forever sealed. Yes. It's over. You're going to hell. You're going to the lake of fire. And that's it. And it's done. So if any of you are here, any of you listen to me, you're not saved and Christ comes and you're here, I beg of you in Jesus' name, don't you ever take that mark. Yeah. You let him kill you. Yeah. You let him kill you. And you have Jesus of the dying words upon your lips. Yeah. Into thy hands I commit my spirit. Yeah. I believe, Jim, you put this on, but there's a story about a African man. The Dutch colonists had rebelled. The Dutch had come in and taken a lot of their land stuff. And, you know, and I don't want to get a big fuss about all that kind of, but there were Christian missionaries there, and they had an uprising, and the natives against the people that tried to take over there. And one of the black leaders of that uprising, they had captured him, and they were taking him to be hanged. And he was riding in a wagon. And he said, I'm riding my chariot home to Jesus. And they hung him and they didn't kill him on the first try and they had to wind up shooting him. I want to just tell you something. There are people who love Jesus enough to die for him. There are people who love Christ enough to suffer for him. And I want to tell you, I don't believe in the rapture as a means of escapism. Never have preached that. Don't believe that. I believe there'll be suffering. I believe it'll get more intense. I believe it'll get more so as time goes. Now, that doesn't mean we're to feel sorry for ourselves. In fact, the Bible said rejoice. Right. Count it all joy. If we're counted worthy to suffer for the cause of Christ, friend, that's a wonderful thing. Yes. And great is your reward in heaven. I've, just to be flat honest with you, I struggle about it. I'm pastor of this church and a lot of people listen to this ministry and I don't want to mislead anybody. I'm telling you, I don't. I read this Bible and I look at what's going on around us and it looks to me like we're in the last days. If we're not, we're not. But it sure does look like it. There's just too many things. Number one, Israel is back in the land. And all the stuff about Israel is going on. And we're seeing, Jesus said it was the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. This has happened since 1982 when this thing started. I'll give you something else. There's three great deliverances in the Bible. The first one was when the children of Israel were delivered out of the land of Egypt. There were two things that accompanied that great deliverance. One was the slaughter of the innocent babies and the increase in demonism. Now listen to me. Moses throw his rod down, turn into a serpent, and the magicians of Pharaoh would do the same thing. But Moses could swallow theirs up. That's a picture of death is swallowed up in victory, okay? The second day of deliverance, when Jesus came to this earth to die, to be born and to die for our sins, the same thing. Herod put out a decree, every baby boy under 2 years old would be killed. And the country was full of devils, because I'll tell you how I know. When Jesus ministered, he was constantly dealing with people filled with devils. You read your Gospels. So you had the slaughter of babies and the increase in demonism. The third great deliverance is when Jesus comes for his church. And we've got it. We have the slaughter of the innocents. And we have the increase in demonism in this country. It's everywhere. This country has become the cage of every foul spirit. Let me tell you what's behind the sodomy and the transgender. And we got a president, illegitimate president. One of the first things he did was sit down at that desk this week and reversed what Trump had done about transgenders in the military. And then added to that, that what they're going to do, they're going to give the schools, the public schools, about a year, what it sounds to me like, to open their bathrooms and all their sports activities and to cease any gender distinction. And then if they don't do that, then they're going to start withholding federal funds from these schools. Yeah. Now that's in the works right now. They're going to see how many schools will do it voluntarily. They've already put out the edict. This is what you need to do. Let the boys who think they're girls in the girls' bathroom, let the girls that think they're boys in the boys' bathroom, don't have any reservations about what sports they can play. And this is exactly what Jesus said. This was Sodom and Gomorrah. Yeah, that's right. This is not a joke. And I tell you something, it grieves my heart. You know, I want to go home this afternoon and tomorrow. I want to get up and I want to walk outside. And I want to see the trees and the grass. And I want to look at the woods and my country where I live. And I would like to think that I live in a decent land. But the raw truth about it is I live in a Sodom and Gomorrah land. Yeah. But I'm going to be like Abraham. I'm going to stay out in the country and stay away from that junk. Because I'm going to tell you something right now. You can think what you want to, but God never sent an evangelist down to Sodom and Gomorrah. And I'm telling you what, those queers hate God. And they hate this Bible. And that they're the movement behind all this stuff going on in the United States. You check it out. And it's like Jesus said it was the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. And secondly, he said it was in the days of Noah. And people in Noah's day scoffed and mocked. And if you don't think that's true, just read some of the comments on my clips. And a lot of you don't see them because they get way down there. And don't waste your time doing it. But I'm telling you, there are so many God haters out here and mockers of Christianity and mockers of the Bible. It is unreal. And they're around you, even right in this area. And they hate your guts. I'm telling you what, the only verse they know is, judge not that you be not judged. That's the only verse they know. And what I'm telling you is this. That's why Jesus said, be also ready. I want to ask you some questions. Are you ready? Now, let me tell you something. I didn't preach this message to get you down, discouraged, defeated, nothing of that kind. Lift up your eyes, for your redemption draweth nigh. Keep your eye on the horizon. Jesus is coming. Amen. And if he doesn't come and I die, you young people remember, this book said he's coming. He's coming. Let's live like he's coming. If you're not saved, I sure want to encourage you. Now to finish this up, I can't finish without reading this. In Revelation chapter 19. Everybody get your Bible open now. Revelation 19, verse 11. We're not going to leave the Antichrist sitting in the temple over at Jerusalem. Amen. Amen. We're going to show you where he's going. Well, I'm on the winning side. Revelation chapter 19, verse 11. I saw heaven open. Behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. And his eyes was a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself, and he was clothed with vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. Why would Jesus call himself the Word of God? You better hang on to your Bible with everything you've got.
Amen. Yep.
Look at verse 14. The armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should rule, smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. Mercy. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And the Bible tells you in the prophets that the blood is going to run bridle deep to a horse in the valley of Armageddon. It's 200 mile long, about 30 to 40 mile wide. And the armies of the world have gathered themselves together against God and against his people. And Jesus is coming, and he's going to tread the wine. You know what that's a picture of? The wine press was a place, was a deal. They put all the grapes and they went in there and squirted, and that blood ran out and like a river out of that wine press. You better get your concept of who Jesus is a little bit better. He's just not the one carrying some little lamb around. He's a warrior king. And he's coming back, and I'm going to tell you something. This world ain't never seen nothing like it. Amen. Amen. And I'm coming back with him.
Amen.
And I'm going to watch the show. Amen.
Amen.
If he says sick him howdy, I'm going to sick him howdy. But he treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. I want to ask you, how long have you thought and meditated upon the fierceness and the wrath of Almighty God against sin? And somebody says, oh, it's just against sin, not sinners. Well, he's not just casting sin into hell. He's casting sinners into hell.
Yeah, right.
And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written. Boy, here it is. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Verse 17, and I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together in the supper of the great God, that you may eat the flesh of the kings and the flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses and of them that sit on them, the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beast, here it is, folks, and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast, here he is, was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. The remnant were slain was the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceedeth out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. That's what's going to happen to the Antichrist. Don't you worry about it. God's got him. Amen. And so I just want you to know, and this is what your Bible teaches. You say, boy, Reg, that's wild. Well, if you think this is wild stuff, and this is just for stuff for fools to feed on, let me see you watch TV anymore, because everything you're watching there is a lie. All righty. I love you. If you're not saved, you ought to get saved. I'm going to be around the front up here for a little bit. If you're here today and you say, Reg, I'm not sure I'm saved, I'd like to talk to you about my soul. I'll be with it right down here. I'll try to show you in the Bible how to be saved. If you're listening online today, I want to tell you something. We love you and we care about your soul. We don't want your money. We just want you to be saved.
Amen.
We're not trying to build some manly kingdom. We just want you to be saved. If God's going to open the door to your heart and your home, we want to tell you the truth. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Put your faith and trust in him right there where you're sitting in your home. Maybe you're driving down the road. I don't know. But don't die without Christ, and don't get involved in this Antichrist business. And right now today, I want to tell all this church right here, keep your eyes open. Keep your eyes open. I don't know what we're going to see beforehand, but let's encourage one another. Let's stand and be what we ought to be for God. Let's stand together. When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, shall be no more, and the glory of his fair. When the saved of earth shall gather to the other side.
and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there.
How many has Jesus as your King? Say amen this morning.
Amen.
I tell you what, let's just let the whole world know the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and let him talk about the Antichrist, but tell him he's a defeated foe and we know where he's headed. And we're not afraid of him, amen. We'll see you tonight.